Hello everybody and welcome to the second season of the UX Research Club, the podcast that is dedicated to the rising field of user research. This is Emmanuel, your host. Who is this show for? It is for everyone actually, everyone interested in UX, product development and digital transformation. Whether you are working for a large organization or for a startup, this podcast is for you. You can also find a lot of information about user research by reading my book, Practical User Research, which covers how to integrate user research into your product development. I would like to thank all of you for all your messages of encouragement and support. I can see that the UX Research Club is getting more and more listeners, so thank you, all of you, all around the world. I know that people are wondering why the release of the episode is no more regular. But unfortunately, my role as a global head of UX research is full on, and I do not always have the mental space nor the time to prepare the episode. Actually, it takes quite a long time to prepare the content, to record it, editing it, and I'm doing it on the side, early in the morning, late at night, or like today, just coming back from holiday, so I've got the time to actually record the episode. So, if you like, or if you want to support the UX Research Club, you can start by giving some stars. I really love stars. You can also talk to your colleagues, your friend, or team members about the UX Research Club. Honestly, recommendation is the best. You can also write a review or share it on your social media. And some people would just like to buy me a coffee as a thank you gesture. So the link of the buy me a coffee is in the description of the podcast. I know the market hasn't been very easy for several months, and this is why I decided, after receiving a lot of messages regarding layoff, redundancy, and struggle than some people may have, then I have decided not to discuss the layoff situation, but rather take a constructive approach by helping to apply for a new role as a UX researcher. In my career, I applied for many roles as well as bidding for contracts. And I've been recruiting researchers for a while, so I thought that my experience from both sides may be useful. But before, I will share with you a bit of my journey. I've been in the field of UX research for quite a long time. I have a PhD in psychology and human interaction, and I've always been very interested in how people use objects in everyday interactions. I transitioned from academia to UX research. It was not called UX research back then. It was more limited to pure usability. As you can imagine, I started as an IC, individual contributor. I worked as an employee and as a contractor. And then I became a consultant. After high demand of my services, I started recruiting people to work with me. And just like that, I became a small business owner, managing up to 10 people, contractors and full-time employees. Brexit happened, hit my company. Actually, it hit me badly. I lost quite a few contracts, so I had to let go some of the people who used to work with me. To be honest, that was the most difficult thing I had to do in my entire career. I used the saving of my company that I built over the years to keep people as long as possible. But ultimately, I reached at a point that I had no choice but to make the hard call. Having your own business is not easy. There are a lot of ups and downs. It is hard work, long hours, and no weekends. Your business is your life, and sometimes difficult for people, employee I mean, to understand. After several years of contracting, being a consultant, managing my small business, and downsizing, I continue working on my own as a contractor until I figure out what I wanted to do next. I could see that I had reached a plateau, doing the same thing again and again, and never really be part of an organization. Feeling a bit of an outsider, not having the feeling of belonging somewhere. I was working hard, giving a lot of myself and knowledge and expertise, but couldn't see the impact nor the outcome, medium to long term, of the project I worked on. After several years, I realized that I reached a plateau, as I said before. I had two choices, expanding my business again, meaning recruiting researcher, bidding for contract, being a consulting research agency again, with all the risk and the uncertainty that goes with it. Or moving to an organization will be associated with less freedom but more stability. I decided to move to a large organization to become an employee again. But before making the full decision, I decided to experiment with the working in-house. I started looking for interim positions such as mat cover, just to see if it was the right move for me, until I made the full decision to be a full-time employee and started to apply for permanent position as a UX research manager. To build, scale UX research capability, as well as managing, mentoring, and coaching researchers and research managers. Today, I'm a head of UX research for a global company in which I manage a team of 25 researchers. Applying for a UX research job. Why this topic? I received many messages from many of you asking me some advice on how to apply for UX research jobs. I know that the market is a bit difficult at the moment, with fewer jobs available, more people on the market, and organizations experiencing budget cut and inflation. The situation is making hiring managers more picky in terms of what they are looking for. I'm going to give you some guidance on how to apply for a UX research job or role. I will not focus on a specific level. I will try to give you as much information as possible, and I hope this will help you. The episode is about the journey, the process of applying for a UX research role. This is a process we are going throughout a whole career. We don't have a job for life anymore, especially not in our industry. So today, I would like to discuss what to expect while applying for a new job and what you need to focus on. I applied for many jobs in my career, and I have developed my process over the years. I will share it with you, as well as giving you my perception of what I expect from a hiring manager perspective. Keeping in mind that hiring manager may have different needs and different ways of recruiting, but at least you'll get my perspective. I hope this will be useful. Reason to apply for a new role. There are numerous reasons why you might need or want to apply for a new role. Perhaps this is your first job, or you've been made redundant recently. You are seeking a promotion but face limitation in your current organization. You are eager to explore a new industry, desire for more flexibility to accommodate a new family, feel unfulfilled in your current position, or find the workplace you are working in at the moment toxic. There are so many reasons. Each individual will have their unique reason and motivation for applying for a new job. They are all very good reasons to apply for a new job. And to be fair, recently, I know many of you have been laid off, and it is a difficult moment. And I would like to tell you that it is not about you and your competency. It is due to the role that was made redundant, due to the market situation. Me too, I've been made redundant. This happened to everyone at least once in a career. You know, you must realize that it is not about you, and I will keep saying it. You may also resign of your role if you don't feel fulfilled or if it is a toxic environment. And it is the right thing to do, to resign. Sometimes my family doesn't understand why I didn't stay 15 years in the same job. In the tech industry, there is a big turnover. In general, the turnover is between 13 to 18%, and the tenure of a role is between 8 months to 2 years. So keep that in mind. We should also look at the other part of the spectrum. Companies have been going through difficult times, COVID-19, inflation, energy crisis, etc. Employees tend to forget that companies also need to make sure they have enough money in the bank to cover their costs, but also generate revenue for their shareholder if they are listed. Talking about contractor, one thing to know is when you work as a contractor, you will always be the first one to be let go during a crisis. When I was a contractor, after some kind of budget cut or reform, whatever, my contract was terminated with very little notice, like a week or 3 days. Or in other occasion, my contract was not renewed. And when I had my company, one of my biggest contracts was not renewed because of the uncertainty just after the vote of the Brexit, leaving me no choice not to renew a contractor contracts, and secondly, to let go people. Yes, it was challenging. I had a small business with a very small structure. Without forgetting, I was a single mom with 2 kids, with school fee, rent and mortgages, etc. And yes, it affected directly my personal life, my resources, my confidence, and it is a difficult moment. But if I look back and if I look at it retrospectively, it was a great opportunity for me to grow and to reinvent myself and to become the person I am today. So embrace it. Not only did my company downsize dramatically from 10 to only me, but also I had to apply for roles again. Let's talk about the current market. The UX research job market is currently experiencing significant growth, with a notable increase in demand across various sectors. Job openings in UX research have risen by 53% over the last 5 years, which keep confirming this is a growing field. The market seems now favored in candidates with specific academic qualifications and specialized skills, reflecting the profession evolutions toward a new specialized role, confirming that UX research is now a discipline on its own and that requires different skill sets than UX design. Overall, the future of UX research professionals look good, offering opportunity for both experienced researchers and newcomers. Globally, the job market for UX research has experienced fluctuation, witnessing a reduction of job listening in 2023. The tech industry has been affected, and so are UX positions. For example, software engineers have been the most significantly impacted by the layoff. But UX research have encountered a comparatively lower rate of job reduction at 2.3%, and in contrast to UX designer at 3.9%. So UX research roles have been marginally less impacted compared to the other technological roles. The industry has undergone significant changes, especially over the past decade. Previously, there were few expert researchers with formal academic training, which was led by evolving requirements. I recall my transition to UX research, a term which we didn't use at that time, when I attended a conference in Munich hosted by the Usability Professional Association, UPA, now known as UXPA. The attendees were a mix of designers, were regarded as professionals, and individuals with research backgrounds such as psychology, ergonomy, and human and computer interaction. There were a clear disagreement among the attendees regarding the necessary skill set, background, and expertise required to become a usability researcher. To this day, this remains a debate over what the appropriate background for a researcher should be. UX research is inspired from so many disciplines, which of course affect what we are looking for as a UXR. I will recommend you listen to the episode 1, season 1 on the origin of UX research. When you are applying for a UX research job, you may go through disappointment. At any point in the process of applying for a job, you may get disappointed because you are not moving through the next phase. Keeping in mind that it is not about you, it is about what the hiring manager or the organization are looking for. The hiring manager may be looking for someone very strong in quant research or be able to do statistical analysis, or vice versa, someone with a very strong qual background, someone more midweight, or someone with more management experience, etc. Or you may be too expensive for the organization, or they may have already someone in-house applying for the role, but they have to go through the full process. There are so many reasons why you're not moving to the next phase. So please, please, please don't take it personally. Rejection may be hard to take, but trust me, this is part of the process. See the overall process as a great exposure and as a good practice. So when you start applying for the role, ask yourself the right question. Before starting, you need to ask yourself the right question to focus your attention. What position are you looking for? Are you interested in a full-time position or a contract position, and why? What is your motivation? Do you have any dream position you are looking for, or any company you would like to work for, or any company you are not interested at all to work for? For example, identifying which organization aligns with your aspiration. You don't want to work for a company that doesn't respect your values. It happened to me. I was always putting a specific company on a pedestal. It took me 3 offers from them to finally accept a role with them. And while I got there, oh my God, it was horrible. I hated it. Long hours, I didn't like the culture, the ethics, etc., etc. Until I decided to leave. Sometimes you make the wrong call. It happened. We are human after all. And you learn from it. Make sure you research the company. You understand the culture beforehand. Let's talk about your career. Applying for a job is far more than just getting a new job. It is building your career path, your professional journey. How long are we working now? With a retirement at 67 years old, we work in some country between 40 to 50 years. So every role you are going to apply for and every role you are going to take are part of your journey. Your career is something you need to think about. What do you want to achieve? Who would you like to be? What are your dreams? If you are more senior, what do you want to give back to the community? What is your added value to the UX research community? It is crucial to initiate through self-evaluation, consider your motivation, the direction you wish to pursue, and where currently you stand in your career trajectory. Ambition is important, yet it is wise and advisable to keep it your ambition for yourself. It is something private. Using your ambition as a personal drive, yes, but don't share it too much. You should understand that career paths are really linear. When I look at my career, actually, it is quite a journey, which I'm very proud of. Every step in my career was an important learning experience without forgetting many ups and downs, keeping in mind that when a door is closing, another one is opening. So keep faith and everything will be okay. Having a plan is essential. Having a plan before starting a job search is a strategic approach that can significantly boost your prospect of success. It is important to have a clear direction of focus. In a sense, then you understand what you are looking for in your next role, which specific industry, which role or company culture you are looking for. This will help you to be clear and focused, and it will save you time by targeting your search effort more effectively. Talking about competencies, once you begin to articulate why you are looking for a new role, it is time to assess your current competencies, strengths. But it is also important to do a retrospective and make a skill gap analysis, assessing your skills against those required for your ideal job you would like to have. It can definitely highlight areas for improvement. This will allow you to identify what you need to work on, look for courses and training, gain certification, engage in projects that can make you learn something new. Please strive for objectivity in your evaluation. Interestingly, men often apply for roles even if they don't possess all the necessary skills, while women tend to ensure they meet all the qualifications before applying for the role. It is a curious observation, don't you think? Regardless, it is important to be objective when you evaluate your skill set. Be honest with yourself when you work on your plan. Now, the process. 1. Ask yourself the right question before applying. What is your career aspiration? What is the industry like at the moment, the current market? Do a self-assessment of your skills and transferable skills, interests, and values. Which role are you looking for? Which level? Which type of role? Perm, temp, fixed term, whatever. Which type of organization? Startup, medium-sized, large organization, multinational. Look at the job which are available on the market. Which sector have more openings, etc., etc. 2. Prepare your CV, resume. Tailor your CV or resume. Try not to recycle an old CV. Try to reshape, revamp your CV. I would recommend that you add a professional summary at the top of your CV with a small paragraph, not a dissertation, like a few lines about yourself, a summary about your professional profile. Use some keywords with your skill set. Add your work experience. And for each work experience, I would add a couple of lines with what was this job about. Add, of course, at the bottom your education and if you are part of any association or affiliation and things like that, just put it down. And if you got space on your CV, you can add your hobby. Another thing which I will add is if you speak several languages, please add them at the top of your CV. Now, multinationals are looking for people who can conduct research in several languages. And actually, if you are bilingual, trilingual or more, you know, this is a big skill set to add on as a competency on your CV. So, an advice, please don't lie on your CV, your title. Don't lie on your work experience. I can see people that put that they were UX researcher when those roles didn't even exist. Those companies didn't even have a research team at that time. Don't think that people who are hiring are not checking. We are all going to look at your LinkedIn. We are always going to look at the comment contact if we know anyone who works with you. So just be as honest as possible. You may have been a market researcher, an analyst, a research assistant, whatever was your background. You have transferable skill set. So just put the truth. Don't try to reinvent yourself. 3, online presence. Work on your brand. Update your LinkedIn profile. Be careful of what you are posting on your social media. 4, which organization will be best for you? If you are a junior, I won't recommend to work for a startup as it may be too chaotic and you will not have enough structure and no one to learn from. If you are the first UXR in an organization, I will recommend that for a senior level. If you want to grow and move to management, I will recommend an organization that already have manager and manager of manager. They will be more likely to have support to help you in your growth. 5, where to look for a role? I will start on LinkedIn, search for a job on LinkedIn, contact recruitment agency. Some are specialized for FTE, other for contractor. Some are specialized in UX, UX research, UX design, UX content writing. Some others on IT, so look at those one as well. They have some contract consulting company who actually help to find jobs and the headhunters. And you may also look directly to some companies. They've got their career website, so it's where they post all their jobs before they have been posted on LinkedIn and the Indeed and things like that. So look around and word of mouth, speak to the people on the community to find out if they have any role available. You can also go to conferences, UX talk and things like that. Networking and event are quite good as well. 6, create a folder. When you start looking for job and starting the job spec, download your job spec, copy and create a Word document. Create an Excel document in which you put all the title where you find it, the link, and the link where you're going to apply for the job. Analyze the content of your job spec. Try to understand what exactly the hiring company is looking for. I tend to highlight all the important keywords and skill set that they are looking for, so it really helped me to prepare after for the interview. 7, evaluate if your competencies are matching the requirement in a job spec. Be honest with yourself. You may not need to meet all the requirements. As a hiring manager, we are always looking for someone that is ticking all the boxes, but it rarely happens. 8, understanding the organization needs. For example, if you are a strong researcher, but the organization is looking for someone exceptional in quantitative research method, even if you are an amazing researcher with mixed method, you may not meet the need of the organization. If it is a small organization that is looking for a unicorn that can do everything, design and research, a generalist person which design and have knowledge in research can be the better candidate. And if it is your first role in-house, they will also look for someone which is autonomous, good with stakeholder management, etc. So I will think of a mid-weight or senior, depending on the salary. 9, apply for the job. Generally, you apply for more than one job at a time. So please make the effort to apply for all of them individually. Please don't send a message with the wrong name. Don't send batch email. This doesn't look good. And that happened a lot, actually. Accepting rejection is something to work on. It is important to realize that sometimes we get so many applications and some organizations do not have the infrastructure to actually to reply to everybody. 10, general interview process. It really depends on the organization, how many stages you will have in your hiring process. It can be between 3 to 10 interviews, depending on the organization and the level you are applying for. Generally, for UX research, I will say it's 5 stages. So one, you will have an interview with a talent acquisition or the recruiter. It will be on the phone. Second, you have an interview with a hiring manager or someone from the hiring manager team. So a UX researcher will do the first screening interview. 3, you will have a UXR evaluation. So it could be a presentation, it could be a task, it could be a lot of things, a lot of questions about how you will do something as a researcher. 4, you have a cross-functional collaboration interview, which involves designer, product manager, content writer, delivery manager, engineering, etc., etc., to see how you collaborate in a team. 5, a cultural fit interview to understand if you will be a good fit. to work in this organization. After, you may have different stages within those stages. And if you are interviewing for a management role, you will have management interview. And if you apply for a specific role with more expert to perform some task, and you will have also preparation of a case study, and you will have a presentation of some work you've done. 11, patience. It takes a long time to review CVs. So keep that in mind. It doesn't happen overnight. We sometimes go through hundreds and hundreds of CVs. Then after, they shortlist the CV. And then after, they have to organize the interview panel. So we are all very busy, and we still need to find some time in a diary to do the interview. We always try to fit the availability of a candidate, but it takes time to set up all that. So bear in mind, it's a long process. So in a large organization, it may take a bit longer than in a startup. I know it can be frustrating to wait. So what I will recommend is to build a relationship with the talent acquisition, which is internal, or to build a relationship with a recruiter, so you get a bit more updates on where they are at in the recruitment process. That's always give you a bit more clarity and can make you a bit less stressed about the waiting time. But one thing I notice, there's sometimes some companies are not coming back to you. Generally, I would say if someone really wants you, they will come back quickly to you. So long wait, generally, I will say it's a bad news. Sometimes the budget is not approved. So that's why actually it takes so long to come back and to give any answer. Sometimes people are going on holiday, so they have to wait until the people are coming back from annual leave. Keep in mind, it is not you. I think it is not very respectful not to give an answer to the candidate, and the ghosting candidate, I don't like it. I didn't like it when I was a candidate. I still don't like it, and I don't think it is appropriate. I think it is rude, but that's my own opinion. I remember years ago, I was applying for work for a consulting company, a big one actually in the UK, which I will not name, obviously. And I did all the interview, everything was amazing, and got great feedback, and I thought I was going to get an offer very quickly. And I waited a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks. And finally, they get back to me, and they find out that they lost the budget. So thank you very much. 6 weeks was quite a long time. So a few years later, I've been headhunted again to work for this company. When I was looking for a new position, and I went through all the interviews, and I had another company as well in mind when I was interviewing at the same time. I went through all the interviews. They were almost equal in terms of the type of company. And at the end, I didn't pick the one who made me wait for 6 weeks because I thought they were rude in the past. So that helped me to make my decision. 12, prepare for each step of the process. Every stage is important of the interview. The preparation is very important. Learn about the company. Be proactive. Don't lie if you don't know what to say. Okay? 13, practice with a friend or family. Prep for your presentation. Prepare your case study. Have someone to proofread it. Have someone to give you some feedback. Adapt your slide. Don't do a copy and paste for every company you are going to apply for. Try to see what could be a transferable skill for their company. Some commonality can be useful, and get a nice storytelling behind your presentation. 14, if you don't get the role, ask for feedback. That will help you to improve and also to understand why you didn't move to the next stage or didn't get the role. Don't get disappointed. I know it is not easy, but take it as a learning experience. Moving from contracting to perm, this is not the same, obviously. Contracting will give you the flexibility, while the permanent position will give you stability. Generally, the salary is a bit less, but the company can have some greater benefits, such as healthcare, pension, contributions, stock, etc. FTE, and full-time employment, is not for everybody. But at some point, if you want to go up the ladder, or if you want to move to the management, this will not happen as a contractor. So bear that in mind. Transitioning from design to UX research. This is becoming more and more difficult now, as many UX researchers are coming from research psychology and a proper research education background, We don't have the same foundation. We don't have the same craft. And if you are a designer with UXR interest, get yourself some training. And if you apply for a UX research role, try to start with a hybrid UX design and UX research, generally in a smaller organization where people are more generalist. Moving to get promoted. If your organization doesn't have any possibility for you to grow or to move up the ladder, you may have to be realistic, and the only way to move up is to move out. Applying for a role after being made redundant, I know it is hard, but this happened to everybody. So stay positive, be proactive. You are not on your own, and take it as an opportunity. Transitioning from academia, it is not easy. Academics tend to be too much into the details. In the UX research industry, we need to be fast, more pragmatic, focus on the impact of the findings and how to improve the product and the service. Hiring manager may not be super comfortable to hire someone from academia, but what I would recommend is for anyone that works in academia and is looking for transitioning to UXR, get a mentor that works with you to help you to understand the fast pace of the industry. Applying for management role. Next episode is going to be about transitioning to UXR management. I will cover a few points about applying for UXR management role as well. In today's episode, we talked about the journey of applying for UX research role, the importance to understand the reason why you are applying for a new role, what is the current situation in the market. We mentioned that disappointment is also part of the process. The importance to ask yourself the right question, where are you in your career, without forgetting that having a plan is essential. I also walk you through the general process of applying for a role, as well as sharing some advice along the way. Applying for a UX research role and any job is a journey. It is a learning process. The more you do it, the better you are getting at it. It is stressful. Yes, it takes time. Yes, it takes energy. Yes, you may get disappointed. Yes, but at the end of the day, applying for a UX research job is an important part of your career, your journey, and it is how you become the researcher that you are and the researcher that you will be. I think this is it for today. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and if you did, please share it, write a review, buy me a coffee. Thank you for listening, and see you next time. Bye!